Mr. Frankel. Yeah, Mr. Frankel, where are you?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Scott Frankel, and I represent appellant the petitioner. I'm going to limit my discussion today to the issue of the timeliness of the petitioner's petition. We are specifically asking this court to reverse one of its prior cases, the case of Gutierrez versus Shomig. In Gutierrez, this court decided that the due date for a habeas corpus petition filed under 2254 is not told for the 90 days during which a cert petition to the United States Supreme Court could have been filed but was not. The Gutierrez decision should be reversed in light of the Supreme Court case of Clay versus United States. Clay dealt with the limitations period defined in Section 2255, which deals with habeas corpus petitions filed by federal prisoners. In 2255, the one-year limitation period to file a habeas runs from the date on which the judgment of conviction becomes final, and the statute uses the term final. The court in Clay interpreted the meaning of the word final in 2255 to include the period of time that the petitioner could have filed a cert petition but did not. Therefore, under the reasoning of Clay, any limitations period should be told during the period of time that a cert petition could have been filed. The reasoning of the Clay case applies equally to cases involving 2254 state habeas corpus petition. In a 2254, a federal habeas petition is due within 1 year after the date on which the judgment became final by the conclusion of direct review. But the one-year period is told during which a properly filed post-conviction petition is pending. So in 2254, the term that is used is pending. And in a 2255 situation, the term that is used is final. The term not final as used in 2255 and Clay is really the same as the term, meaning of the term of pending as used in 2244D2, which is the tolling section. There is no logical, reasonable, or fair reason to distinguish the meaning of the two different contexts. And the federal statute should have a consistent interpretation in both contexts. There's no reason not to. A consistent interpretation promotes a clear understanding of the due dates and avoids creating a trap for the unwary. And also, without a consistent interpretation, an anomaly would occur that an event, the filing of the cert petition, may toll a statute of limitations period after the expiration of the statute of limitations period. And this is a result that the court should try to avoid. In an en banc decision, the Sixth Circuit in Abella versus Martin reversed its prior precedent. It had ruled similarly to the Seventh Circuit in a prior case, but in Abella, an en banc panel of the Sixth Circuit reversed its prior decision and ruled that the time for filing a 2254 petition was told during the time that a petitioner could have filed a cert petition to the United States, but didn't. In the Abella case, the petitioner had filed a cert petition, but this en banc panel, in giving instructions to its trial courts, had reached the issue of how to calculate the tolling period, even if a cert petition has not been filed. So the court did reach that issue, and that's the issue that we have here. So the Abella court concluded consistently with Clay that the terms final and no longer pending are essentially two sides of the same coin. And should be interpreted consistently in both the 2255 and the 2254 context. A case is pending or not final so long as a cert petition could be filed and the judgment of the lower court would be subject to reversal. Therefore, for all the foregoing
Address the actual innocence problem?
We raised the actual innocence issue in our brief as a gateway claim to our argument that equitable tolling principle should apply here to allow the petitioner to file his brief.
But if we agree with you on the pending point, on the statute of limitations point, we don't have to get into that.
That's correct, Judge. Right. I do have some additional time, and I can address the equitable tolling issue. Our argument there is that under equitable tolling principles, the petitioner should be entitled to file his petition in any event. Issue there is whether a state court judgment becomes final at the time the judgment is issued or when the mandate is issued. In our brief, we argue that the state court judgment becomes final when the mandate is issued because the judgment is still subject to reversal or change until the mandate is issued. And in fact, the lower court does not receive the judgment itself until the mandate is issued. In this case, the petitioner should have received the petition by February 12, 2003, the day after it was Federal Express to the institution, pursuant to the instructions of someone at the institution. All the petitioner would have had to do at that point is hand the petition off to someone in a position of authority at the institution. It would have been deemed filed under the filing rules of 2254. But the institution lost the petition, and so through no fault of the petitioner, he was unable to file the petition in a timely manner. The petition would have been due on February 14th, 2003, if you calculate the final date of the state court judgment from the time the mandate is issued. Your Honors, we're asking that you reverse and remand the case and allow Mr. Gilden, petitioner, to file his petition.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Frankel. Mr. Hoffman?
May I please the court, counsel? Your Honors, the first issue which was addressed in this case and by counsel here is the question of whether or not the 90-day period for seeking cert after a state collateral action is final through the procedures of the state court when one is not filed and no cert is filed, told the time for filing a federal habeas petition.
Yeah, I don't understand your position really, because apart from the fact that just encourage these people to file their futile cert petitions, we don't usually think of a case as over until the time, you know, until you've exhausted your appellate remedies, right? Still pending.
I would disagree.
As a rule, you know, we judges, we're not supposed to make public comments on pending cases. Now, suppose a case was decided, and it might be, you know, a possible cert, a candidate. Would we be free the day after it was decided, before the 90 days had run for filing a cert petition, to start making public comments on it? I don't think so. I think we'd be criticized. People would say, look, the case isn't over yet. It's not over until appellate remedies are exhausted.
I think to be safe, Your Honor, under that judicial rule, which I'm not familiar with.
I don't think it's a matter of safety. I think it would just be a violation for us to start talking about a case when it could still be decided by another court or by our court on petition for rehearing, because the time for appellate, you know, one hadn't still, the time for exhausting one's appellate remedies hadn't expired yet. And that's exactly the situation here.
I would submit that it's not exactly the situation here. If you look at Clay, which is the case which is claimed has denuded this court's ruling or overturned this court's ruling in Gutierrez, the Supreme Court in Clay was very, very careful to say that the question of whether something's final.
It wasn't dealing with our issue, that's true, but on the other hand, what it did say is that finality doesn't occur. In other words, the case isn't over until the time for filing the petition for cert expires. Well, if it isn't over, then it's still pending. I mean, it seems to me a case is pending until it's over. And it's not over until you've exhausted your appellate remedies.
I would disagree with your last statement. Again, In Clay, the court was very careful to say that whether something's final or pending depends upon the exact circumstances, the exact procedural matter.
And so D1 is about accrual, so the issue is finality, and D2 is about tolling, and the issue is pending. The litigation is tolled, your statute of limitations is tolled while the suit is pending. Well, what that means, I think, is until it's over with. What form of word, if you were drafting D2 and you wanted it to fit with D1 and extend the tolling period until appellate remedies were exhausted, how would you have phrased it differently from how the drafters of D2 did phrase it?
As the United States Supreme Court suggested in Duncan, Your Honor, you could say, or the time for seeking federal review of the state court action. Because the question here, the important thing in Clay, one of the important...
But did they ever say that in these statutes?
Well, they didn't.
I mean, why doesn't pending sum it up? Pending, yeah, until you're exhausted your remedies, of course it's still pending.
Pending does sum it up, but it sums it up in the way that the United States Supreme Court said in Carey v. Saffold. In Carey v. Saffold, they were very careful to say that a state collateral action goes until the state court proceedings have ended. The question is not, and that's a very, very important distinction between Clay and this case. First of all, Clay deals
with... No, the application is still pending until all remedies, including cert to the Supreme Court, are exhausted. Your application is still alive until that happens. Because the Supreme Court could order that the application be granted.
Yes, it could.
And what sense does your position make? Make any sense?
With regard to... What? Yes, I think
there's some practical value to your position.
Well,
because the natural effect will be that if you want 90 days, you know, file a cert petition. You want
that's
90
right.
days.
And
who is helped by that? Supreme Court doesn't have enough business, needs more cert petitions.
The sense, first of all, before we even get to the sense of it, if you look at the several districts. 7 out of the 8 districts now that have addressed this question have said that, and one said initially and then reversed itself in Abella, said that the time is not tolled for purposes of habeas corpus for that 90 days when nothing has been filed, when no cert has been filed. But relying particularly...
Well, do you think even if something is filed, it's not tolled?
Some of the other courts say that.
What's your position? I don't care what the other courts say. What's your position?
Well, of course,
what is your position?
Not involved.
Do you have a position?
My position is that if you use the rationale...
That's not a position. What is your position? Not an if.
No, it's not pending. Because the
So you think even if the person files a cert petition, that still doesn't toll? What if the Supreme Court grants cert? Still doesn't toll?
So
he's got one proceeding going to the Supreme Court, but he has to file a federal habeas corpus? Does that make sense?
And as at least one of the other circuits has said...
You keep talking about other circuits. What sense does it make? Now, the question of authority is important. What sense? So in your view, you have a state post-conviction case. It's denied. Go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court grants cert. Now you have a Supreme Court proceeding on your state post-conviction. But at the same time, in order to avoid forfeiting your federal habeas corpus rights, you have to file a federal habeas corpus proceeding. So that's pending while your state proceeding is in the Supreme Court. And my question is, which is very simple, is there some sense behind that rule that you're advocating? Or is it just a compulsion of, you know, authority or statutory language or something?
First of all, the sense is that it's consistent with what Congress has told
That's
us.
That's not sense. That's, I said, a sense apart from possible compulsion of statutory language or authoritative judicial decisions. So after all, the language isn't clear. We're trying to interpret it. And we don't favor interpretations that lead to senseless results, such as mindless multiplication of parallel proceedings.
With regard to the sense it makes, Your Honor, I would say that it perhaps makes no more sense than finding it the other
makes
way.
Makes more sense. Okay, so we agree. No more sense. Doesn't make any sense.
No more sense than what?
No more sense.
Finish your answer, Grant.
It makes no more sense than the petitioner's position that it should be told for that time, because it does not. We know that you don't have to go to the Supreme Court in order to exhaust your state court remedies. And exhausting state court remedies is really what drives habeas. And here, so, in Carey and in Clay, the court mentioned that. It said that it promotes finality and it promotes exhaustion by having people make sure that they finish their state court remedies first. So although I can see that it perhaps makes no more sense than their rule in this instance, it makes no less sense, and it is what Congress has told us. The courts, including this court, have noted that Congress, there is a difference between D1 and between D2, a very important difference, two differences. First of all, in D2, they talked about state court proceedings, which, as I indicated earlier, Carey has said that the state collateral proceedings end with the termination of the state court proceedings. It's governed by the state court law. Second of all, in D1, Congress was very careful to talk about the time of review, direct review, or for seeking direct review. And the court makes clear in Clay that traditionally, for a long time, the United States Supreme Court has said that the time for seeking review on direct review, again, must be remembered that we're not dealing with a direct review, not only is it not federal, but it's not a direct review as was involved in Clay, but the Supreme Court has said that they have for a long time said that Supreme Court analysis is part of direct review. There's no such precedent with regard to, and I would say Carey argues the opposite, with regard to collateral review, collateral state court review.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions on this, the court would like me to take a little time to deal with the actual...
Only got about 30 seconds. No, you don't.
No, I don't.
Okay,
Your Honor, we would ask
Mr.
that you affirm the finding of the district court.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Frankel? How much time does he have?
He doesn't want to talk anymore.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay, fine. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.